That's what we're going to see in Hebrews. The context of the writings of Hebrews is that it's written to Jewish people. If you would think it has 13 chapters. If you could think of these 13 chapters as like a teaching, a podcast, if you will, that's kind of what this is. And it's written to Jewish people. We know it's written to Jewish people, and it's written by somebody who they're not identifying themselves of who they are. A lot of people think it's the Apostle Paul. Some people think it's Luke. But whoever it is, as they are writing this, they understand temple worship. And we know that because throughout these 13 chapters, there are all kinds of references to the temple worship and the way the Jewish people would worship in that century. And there is no explanation behind it. So we know that that's the audience it's being written to. And a lot of times as we read through it, we're going to read through it and we're going to scratch our head and think, well, you know, this doesn't really make sense. And it's because we don't have that Jewish temple culture. But it was written to people who had actually placed their faith in Jesus. It was written to people who had confirmed, yes, Jesus does make sense. Yes, this makes sense, and I'm going to place my faith in the person of Jesus. It's probably also written before 70 AD, before the destruction of the temple. But they had made a decision, and their decision was that I placed my faith and trust in Jesus, and guess what? Life didn't get easier for them. Life got harder. More suffering, more oppression. Where is all of this going? And they're thinking, they're wondering, did I make the wrong decision? So as we read through over the next several weeks, as we go through this letter of Hebrews, in the back of your mind, the way that we are filtering or framing this teaching is behind this question or this statement, why Jesus makes sense. So let's jump into verse number one. In verse number one of Hebrews chapter one, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Last week, we talked about how God has always desired to speak to us. He's always desired to be in relationship. And even in the ancient, in their ancient history, this has been true from day one. So we talked about how God speaks to us. We did that last week. But here, the author's just pointing that out. But then he says this, and now, in these final days, meaning in these last days that you have been living and have been experiencing now in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son Jesus. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance, and through the son he created the universe. Have you ever gotten a message from somebody, but it really wasn't from like the top person, right? And you kind of wondered, you listen. Let's do this. Let's illustrate it this way. You are at the checkout station, and there is the cashier or the customer service rep, right? And they are talking on behalf of their organization to you. And you take that at one level. But then, if the CEO of the organization was to come up to you and tell you the same thing that they had, you would take that at a whole new level, right? You would take that in a whole different way. This is what this is like. This is what the author's trying to remind or tell them. Hey, listen, we've had prophets. We've heard from Abraham. We've heard from Jeremiah. We've heard from all these different people. But now, God has sent his very own son, who was already up in heaven in communion with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They were already this triune God. And Jesus, the Son, leaves heaven and he comes down here. And you've heard it from his very mouth. You've heard him. And look what happens. The Son, in verse number three, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. The Son expresses the very character of God. Have you ever, if you are wondering, what is God like? Look at the Son, Jesus. This is why, as a Christ follower, it is so important. And for somebody who's searching, it's so important if you want to understand who God is, for you to understand and read through and dig into the Gospels in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because it tells you, it documents from eyewitness accounts the life of Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus, because Jesus expresses the very character of God. This is so important. Why? It's so important for us to understand, as Christ followers, how Jesus lived his life here on this earth. Jesus modeled to us. He was an example for every one of us, of not just a picture and an image of who God is, expressing God's character. It's important for us because he showed us it's possible to live out our faith here on this broken earth. That you and I actually have everything that we need to live a godly life. Jesus is that example. And every Christ follower should get a good grasp, should understand those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You need to understand the way that Jesus lived his life so that the Holy Spirit can produce that kind of life in you. But there's another reason. It's so that you can understand what it's like to actually be a child of God and all that's included. Because, you know, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, then you've actually become a child of God. You are his son or his daughter. And we are to express the character here. We are to express the character of God. That's what, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what that means, that we are to bring about more of God's kingdom, more of heaven here by how we are actually living our life. Here's how I know. Paul shared it this way, that you are actually a child of God if you have placed your faith in that. Look what Paul said in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, he says, but when the right time came, God sent his son. At the right time in history, God said, this is the time. It's going to be at this time. And God sends Jesus at just the right time, born of a woman who was subject to law, meaning that she had a sin nature just like we do. And so, but at just the right time, Jesus shows up on the earth, and God sent him, what? God sent Jesus to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law or slaves to sin. That's what that means, because we have this separation in us that we are born with because of sin, because of this broken world. We can't enter into a right relationship with God. But God said, you know what I'm going to do for the creation that I love, because I desire relationship so badly with my creation, I'm going to make it possible that every person would be able to enter into that relationship. I'm going to buy their freedom. Now, what did he say? And so that he could adopt us. So that he could adopt us as his very own son or his very own daughter. So that we could be adopted into that. And because of that, now watch, because there's this adoption that takes place or is made possible, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And that allows us to be able to cry out, Abba, Father. That allows us to have that kind of relationship with God. Why? Because the sin problem that we have has been taken care of in the person of Jesus. This is so important. This is like the foundation of our faith. Understanding, acknowledging that I have a sin problem. Rick Moore has a sin problem. But Jesus took care of it. And he has bought your freedom from that as well. So much so that Paul goes on in the same passage. He says, now you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to sin. That's been taken care of, but you're God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. This is why we can have the mind of Christ. This is why Paul encourages us to have the mind of Christ. This is why we can actually live like Jesus lived. Because God has made this possible. Christ follower, are you living like Jesus lived? Are you expressing the very character of God in your relationships? Are you expressing the character of God in your workplace? Are you expressing the character of God to your neighbor that annoys you, that just like gets on your last nerve? Are you expressing the character of God? It's possible to express the character of God to these people because he's put his spirit of adoption inside of you and he makes it possible. Now, back in our text, watch what happens. This verse is just like the last half of verse number 3. When Jesus had cleansed us from our sins, when he took care of the sin problem that every human being has had, what does he do? He sat down in the place of honor. Now, the Jewish people are like, their minds are blown by this. What do you mean he sat down? The priest would constantly have to offer sacrifice for sin year after year after year after year. But here, the author tells us, no, not the high priest of Jesus. And later, they will call Jesus the high priest in the further chapters that we'll get into later. But here, he says, this high priest, he sits down. That indication means it's done. Never before in the Jewish religious tradition of temple worship did the high priest ever sit down. There were no chairs found in the temple. This is like, oh my gosh, oh yes. So he's reminding them, yes, Jesus makes sense. Yes, Jesus really is where we need to place our faith and our trust for our problem of sin that keeps us separated from God. Because now he sits down. It's done. This is why there's a huge difference with religion, who tells you have to do and do and do. And where with God, he's saying, no, it's about a relationship all based on what has already been done on the cross. Huge difference. Religion says do. Relationship with God is all about done. It's been done. And the question for you, have you actually trusted Jesus as the problem for your sin? Have you actually confessed and said, yes, I know. Man, I'm full of pride. I'm full of greed. I'm full of lust. I'm full of, and you know, fill in the blank. You see your own mess. You carry the guilt and the shame. But Jesus came to set you free from that. Jesus came to say, no, you don't have to carry that shame. You don't have to carry the guilt. This is what his son has come to set you free. And I'll never forget the day when I was set free from my shame and my guilt. And it radically changed my life. And it can radically change your life as well. It's been done. If you haven't done this yet, you'll see on the connection card that the very first next step, or if you have a hard copy of the bulletin, the very first next step reads like this. It says, I need to accept Jesus as the answer to my sin. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. This is key. This is important. And this is a step that you need to take if you haven't made it yet, if you haven't taken it yet. You need to place your faith and your trust in Jesus. We want to pray for you. If you indicate that on the connection card and leave your contact information, we will be praying for you by name when we gather, when our staff gathers on Tuesday. And then we would love to just have that conversation with you, help you to understand and reach out to you and call you. Let's get back into the passage, though. Back to Hebrews. Look what the author goes on to say. This shows, meaning that Jesus has cleansed us from our sins and he sat down. This shows that the Son is far greater than angels. It's like all of a sudden, out of left field, he brings up angels. Why does he do this? Why? Because it makes people wonder. Bible scholars are wondering, did the Jewish people somehow started getting sidetracked on some other mystical types of things that were happening? Did they somehow want to start to focus on the angel that actually delivered the message about Jesus' birth? And so, in this, out of nowhere, it seems like, he says, this shows that the Son is far greater than angels. Was there some kind of cultural, cultic angel worship that was happening, going on at that time? And were they wondering, did we miss it? Because life hasn't gotten easier. In fact, it's gotten harder. The oppression is greater. Did we miss it with Jesus? Should I be looking somewhere else? Did they start looking at angels? And here the author is saying, no, the Son is far greater. And in fact, the whole rest of the chapter is devoted to telling how Jesus is greater than the angels. How that the angels were to worship Jesus and not the other way around. Like sometimes we get it messed up. I want to illustrate this idea because probably nobody in Lincoln or South County, probably nobody here in Cranston has been bowing down to an angel. At least we hope not. But have you gotten sidetracked from Jesus? And I illustrate it like this, because have you ever bought a kid, maybe it's your own, one of your own kids, or maybe it was a gift for a niece or a nephew, and you dropped like $100 on this gift, and you couldn't wait to give it to them, right? And they get the gift, they open it up, and they're like, oh, wow, and they take the gift, what's inside of it? They take it, put it to the side, and then what do? They start playing in the box, right? They become enamored around the box. I mean, you're like, dude, I just dropped $100 on the gift on the inside of the box, not the box. I could have bought that box for less than $10. Come back to the present. Come back to the main point. And this is what happens sometimes in Christ followers' lives. We get sidetracked. Sometimes with very good intentions. We had a good intention in mind. But we get sidetracked from the main focus and what it should be. If you were here in the month of July, you heard Stephen Miller brought this idea up. That some people have gotten sidetracked with astrology. And but when I say astrology, I don't mean the study of the stars. But if you were to go to astrology.com right now, up there, it will pop up, how if you were born in, these certain dates and this is what you are and this is what it means for your life today. You'll find horoscope. Yeah, and people do this. And I remember somebody that I loved dearly, they would talk about their horoscope. And they would go to the newspaper back in that day and they would read their horoscope for the day. And then they would ponder how that might be true in their life. You see what that does? That gets you sidetracked off the main focus of who it's supposed to be on in Jesus. Yeah, at astrology.com, it's not just about horoscopes. It's about the energy. You can go in there. You read this for yourself. They even have a drop-down menu for tarot cards. Now, that's way off. I mean, you heard Stephen explain how the basis for all this is really came out of a pagan worship. And if you're a Christ follower, don't get sidetracked from the person of Jesus. Yes, life is hard and we are going to suffer. Just because you have placed your faith in the person of Jesus Christ doesn't somehow mean that life will be easy. It doesn't. In fact, the suffering that we go through here helps us to become more like Jesus. That's what the scriptures actually teach us. The scriptures actually teach us that you are going to suffer. I'm going to suffer. You are going to suffer. Life is hard because we live in a sin-broken world. That's why. But what we can't do is to get sidetracked and go down some rabbit hole with these things. I mean, you have friends like I have friends that talk about energy, that talk about, hey, I could really use all the good vibes, you know, from you today. But what I want to say is to you, there's something much bigger than good vibes. There's something much deeper than positive energy. There's something much deeper than crystals. And people think that there's some kind of healing power or energy from crystals. There's something that is so much over that. And His name is Jesus. And won't you come back? And won't you get focused in on who Jesus is, who expresses the very character and nature of God? Let's take out that connection card again and let's look at the other two next steps. It says, pray that I can stop being fixated on everything else and focus on Jesus as my number one priority. Maybe for you as a Christ follower, that's the problem. You have allowed your problems to overwhelm you, and that's all you're fixated on, the problem. Could I just encourage you to get back and get focused on who can actually walk with you through the problem? And that is Jesus. Jesus wants to do this. I want to encourage you. Whatever, maybe you're focused on relationship and you think, until I get into this relationship with that person, my life's not going to be right. That's not what the scriptures teach. We find who we all should find our full fulfillment in, just the person of Jesus. That should be enough. We sing a song a lot of times about Jesus being enough, but we don't live our life like that. Jesus is calling us to find our satisfaction in Him. What is it that you're chasing? What is it? We want to pray for you. But maybe this last next step, it says, I need to experience the power of Jesus to set me free from, and there's a blank because every person is different. Whether you're in Lincoln or South County or you're right here, we all find ourselves at different places. And we can get in bondage to different chains. And you need to be set free. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus can set you free. He really can. We could share one story after the other of how people have been set free from whatever it is. So, will you let us pray with you? Will you let us indicate, if you using the app and you're doing the connection card through the app, that's great. If you're right here, then just take the connection card, the hard copy, drop it in the offering boxes on your way out. And I promise you, you will be prayed for this week as our team gathers. Father, thank you for what you have done. And Jesus, thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of people. There are people that need to be set free from their sin. And Jesus, we're praying that that would happen today. Jesus, there are Christ followers that are totally off track. They've gotten fixated on something different than you. And God, I pray that you'd set that person free from their career, from their finances, Jesus, from that relationship. Set them free from all of that stuff and allow them to experience you, because you're enough. Jesus, come and work in our lives like this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to respond to this teaching through a song called Breakthrough. And when you're singing this song, Breakthrough, maybe you need to have a breakthrough. So maybe it's not for you. You're not singing it. Oh, the words are coming out, but you are praying this breakthrough. Let's stand.
Your power and your presence break strongholds.